Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 11. In this chapter, we have the final stage of the departure of God's glory from Israel because of the nation's sins. We also have the first mention in the book of Ezekiel of the future restoration of Israel. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 12 of the chapter. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faces eastward. And there at the door of the gate were 25 men, among whom I saw Jaazaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. And he said to me, Son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give wicked counsel in the city, who say the time is not near to build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we are the meat. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, Speak, thus says the Lord. Thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. You have multiplied your slain in this city, and you have filled its streets with the slain. Therefore thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in its midst, they are the meat, and this city is the cauldron. But I shall bring you out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, says the Lord God. And I will bring you out of its midst and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgments on you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the meat in its midst. I will judge you at the border of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes nor executed my judgments, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles which are all around you. Let's begin our study of Ezekiel 11 with some background notes. Ezekiel chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11 is a four-part vision that God gave Ezekiel concerning the coming judgment of Judah and Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. In this vision, Ezekiel was transported to Jerusalem, and there he was shown the idolatry and wickedness that was going on in the temple area. Now remember, Ezekiel was in Babylon at this time, along with many other Jewish captives. However, Jerusalem had not yet fallen to the Babylonians, and the temple in Jerusalem had not yet been destroyed. However, it was only a matter of time before the axe would fall because of Judah's sin and unwillingness to repent. In this vision, Ezekiel sees not only the idolatry and wickedness of the people and priests, but the execution of the inhabitants of Jerusalem as well. Now here in chapter 11, we have the final portion of Ezekiel's four-part vision. In the first 12 verses that we've just read, Ezekiel sees the wicked counsel that the leaders of Judah are giving to the people. This also would come under the judgment of God. And more we could give for background, but we have three doctrinal points for our study today. So let's move to our doctrinal teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 11. Doctrinal point number one, God is opposed to the wicked counsel of the ungodly. God is opposed to the wicked counsel of the ungodly. The 25 men that Ezekiel sees in this vision by the east gate of the temple area in verse 1 are not the same 25 men that Ezekiel saw worshiping the sun back in chapter 8, verse 16. No, the 25 men back in chapter 8 were priests. The 25 men here in chapter 11 are civil leaders. These civil leaders in chapter 11 were giving wicked counsel to the people of Jerusalem. Remember, the gate area was a traditional place for the elders of the city to meet and discuss important matters. Now, there is some question as to whether they are saying in verse 3 that it was the time to build houses or it was not the time to build houses. If they are saying that it was the time to build houses, it was because they didn't believe that Jerusalem would be conquered. If they are saying it was not the time to build houses, they are probably referring to the prophet Jeremiah's letter that Jeremiah sent to the captives in Babylon telling them to build houses there because Jerusalem would be conquered and they would be captives in Babylon for some time. You can read that letter in Jeremiah chapter 29. In either case, these civil leaders are giving counsel directly opposed to what God had declared. Judah and Jerusalem would be conquered because of their sinful ways. Furthermore, these civil leaders were telling the people that they were as safe in Jerusalem as meat is safe in a cauldron, verse 3. The meat inside the cauldron may get hot, but it is protected from the fire. I'm so sorry, says the Lord through Ezekiel's prophecy in the vision. If there's any choice cuts of meat in the cauldron, it's not you. It is rather the righteous men that you have murdered because they spoke the truth. You wicked leaders have misled the people with your wicked counsel, and you will be taken out of your so-called safe cauldron and killed. The sword will follow you all the way to the border of Israel as you are dragged away as captives to a foreign land. Then you will know that God meant what he said. God is opposed to the wicked counsel of the ungodly, then and today. Think of the wicked counsel that is being promoted today by the ungodly. Think of the youth of our nation that are being led astray by wicked counsel. God holds counselors accountable for their hidden agendas. God is opposed to the wicked counsel of the ungodly. Doctrinal point number 2. God is preserving a remnant in Israel. God is preserving a remnant in Israel. Here's some good news, verses 13 through 21. Now it happened, while I was prophesying, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, will you make a complete end of the remnant of Israel? Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. This is the first mention of the future restoration of Israel in the book of Ezekiel. This good news comes in response to the death of Pelatiah in verse 13. He was one of the civil leaders giving wicked counsel, as we've already seen. Now, in response to Ezekiel's fear that all of Israel would be wiped out, God assured Ezekiel that a remnant was being preserved. But the remnant was not in Jerusalem. The inhabitants of Jerusalem were convinced that God was preserving them and giving them the land. They assumed that the captives in Babylon were forsaken by God. No, says the Lord, the remnant will be preserved from among the captives wherever they are scattered. Verse 16. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Verse 16. And in the future, God would gather this remnant back to the land of Israel and give them a new spirit and a new heart. Now this prophecy was not fulfilled when Israel returned from their Babylonian captivity. And it is not being fulfilled in the church today. The church is not the new Israel. It will yet be fulfilled when a spiritual awakening takes place in the nation of Israel. Israel is already back in the land, but the spiritual awakening is yet to come. Verse 21 indicates that not all the Jewish people who return to the land will become believers, but many will. God is preserving a remnant in Israel. Doctrinal point number 3, God is reluctant to remove his presence. God is reluctant to remove his presence. Verses 22 through 25. So the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels besides them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to those in captivity. And the vision that I had seen went up from me. So I spoke to those in captivity of all the things the Lord had shown me. We see in verses 24 and 25 that the vision is over, and Ezekiel is transported by the Spirit back to Babylon, where he shares what he has seen in the vision. In Ezekiel chapter 9, we saw the glory of the Lord leave the Holy of Holies of the temple and move to the threshold of the temple. In chapter 10, we saw the glory of the Lord move from the threshold of the temple to the east gate of the temple area. Now here in chapter 11, we see the glory of the Lord move out of the city and hover over the mountain on the east side of the city. That would be the Mount of Olives. The fact that the glory of the Lord left Jerusalem in stages is a strong indication that God is reluctant to remove his presence. You know, there's a rabbinic tradition that says that the Shekinah glory lingered over the Mount of Olives for 3.5 years. Now, how long the glory of the Lord stayed over the Mount of Olives, we don't know. But eventually, the glory of the Lord was gone. We'll see the glory of the Lord return in Ezekiel 43, which is a prophecy of the future and the glory of the Lord returning to Israel and returning to that future millennial temple. But here, the glory of the Lord departs. God is long-suffering and patient and reluctant to remove his presence, but he will not stay where he's not wanted. This certainly has an application for believers today, doesn't it? God wants to have fellowship with us. He loves to dwell in the midst of his people. But God cannot have fellowship with us when we don't want him monitoring our lives. But even then, God is reluctant to remove his presence. What about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 11? Remember, God can read your mind. Look at what the Lord said through Ezekiel to the leaders of Jerusalem in verse 5. I know the things that come into your mind, or I know what is going through your mind. These leaders who were giving evil counsel thought that God did not know their thoughts. They were wrong. God knows everything. God is omniscient. You know, many people today think the same way that these leaders of Jerusalem thought. They don't deny that there's a God, no. But they think that God cannot read their minds. God can read the minds of people. God can read your mind. Other people can't read your mind. Angels can't read your mind. Satan can't read your mind. But God can read your mind. He knows your every thought. That's why it's so important to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Let me ask you today, how is your thought life? Do you make your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? Remember, God can read your mind.